in the introduction to his book, Herein is Love, author Reuel Howe says this: as the love of God required incarnation in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in order that it might be received by us, so the word of God's love in our day requires and calls for persons in whom the love of God can be embodied. Such a one is our executive secretary, who has led Woman's Missionary Union for 19 years, and who leads us in a special way at this time, in this day, when we are looking toward a work that declares to the world, herein is love, God's love.
In conversation, a WMU secretary quoted women in the state where she serves as saying, "We just can't seem to get women interested in coming to meetings." The secretary's reply was, "People are tired of being spectators. They are going where the action is." To motivate persons to action is the purpose of missions education. The veteran state secretary of missions, who said that what goes on in the church is not so important as what goes on in the field, was not minimizing the work of the church, which goes on in the church building. He was saying that the effectiveness of work in the church building finds expression in ministry and witness of its members in the field. The Foreign Mission Board reminds us that the field is the world. The Home Mission Board's thrust into new areas in the United States and into a variety of approaches to meeting human needs brings the field closer to us. The State Convention and the Association bring the field still closer, but the church is the base of operation for all members, and the land area within reach of the members is the church's field. Church members are different. Some are energetic, and others move through life as though on two cylinders. Some talk easily, and others are retiring. Some are helpful in a sick room, and others would best befriend the patient by staying at home. Needs also are different. They are varied enough to care for individual differences in ability and interest, numerous enough and close enough to provide opportunity for all members to engage in mission action. Churches, too, are different. While churches share a common faith and a common heritage, use the same Bible, and work toward the same ends, they differ in their characteristics. They do not all look alike, act alike, or work alike. This is good. Were it not true, all of us would either clamor to belong to the same church or would not belong to any. Think for a moment of your church. What are its characteristics? If your church is like most, it is made up of people who of like background, persons from a common community setting, similar economic, social, and educational backgrounds. The simple truth is that churches tend to reach people like themselves. Could it be possible that your church is overlooking or bypassing many people in the community who do not fit easily into the group we refer to as prospects? Is it possible that there are geographic, racial, social, and cultural barriers within your community which are just as real as those on a foreign mission field? If the answer to either question is yes, your church needs to accelerate its efforts in mission action. What is mission action? Mission action is something old and something new. It embraces what Woman's Missionary Union originally called personal service, and what in more recent years we designated community missions. But mission action is more than a new name for old concepts. While it preserves the best of the old concepts, it has added dimensions. So as to give a sense of direction in this significant new approach, we have answered the question being asked across the land: what is mission action? Mission action is the organized effort of a church to minister and to witness to persons of special need or circumstance who, without this special effort, are often bypassed in the church's direct outreach activities. Mission action is taking Christian love into all situations of need, into all places where persons are victims of their own weakness and sin, or where they are victims of society's indifference and complexity. Mission Action is the work of dedicated Christians who expand their narrow circle of concern and become involved in meeting the crucial needs of persons in the name of Jesus Christ. Mission Action is love in action. Christ, both by his teachings and by his example, set the pattern for Christians of all generations. Mark said of him that his mission was one of service to others. Luke tells us that Jesus pointed out that his mission was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to make possible the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. The people in 20th century USA who need special witness and ministry are everywhere. The teenage boy whose aloofness before a juvenile judge is a front to hide his fears. The old man without a home or a family who drifts into town without a place to spend the night. The woman who speaks another language. The serviceman on the base at the edge of town. The international student at the university. The migrant farm worker following the harvest. The retarded child groping for affection. The unmarried girl with a child for adoption. The man in prison serving out his term. The elderly woman who finds difficulty bridging between her ancient Indian customs and contemporary culture. The young woman who cannot read or write. The foreign-born seeking United States citizenship. These persons of special need or circumstance will not be reached for Christ by the church unless they are given extra attention. Mission Action groups are being suggested to meet the needs discovered. The purpose of Mission Action Group is to sustain an organized effort in behalf of the church to minister and to witness to persons of special need or circumstance. A Mission Action Group differs from a circle in that members are not assigned. Rather, a Mission Action Group is made up of persons who volunteer for a specific type of mission action work. Let's look at the Mission Action Group possibilities in 1967-68. Notice I said in 1967-68. Mission Action Group possibilities are unlimited, but guidance and resource materials are limited. Though churches can launch out into the sea of need without materials, more rewarding work will be accomplished where groups have the benefit of carefully prepared materials. WMU can take justifiable pride in presenting 5 Mission Action Group guides, a projects guide, and a survey guide for use in 1967-68. Seldom, if ever, has there been such an example of cooperation as in the planning of these guides. A team worked on each with a WMU staff member as leader, a writer, a home mission board staff member whose work is related to the respective area of mission action, a missionary of the board who is actively engaged in the respective area of mission action, and resource persons selected on the basis of training and experience. A brotherhood staff member shared in the planning of the guides which will be used by both organizations in the church. Use of the Mission Action Survey Guide paves the way for the church to choose work which will meet crucial community needs. The survey process can be as intensive as a church desires to make it. Thorough surveys yield more information, but some churches can use a very simple process and discover more needs than can be met. Planning and conducting Mission Action surveys is the responsibility of Women's Missionary Union and Brotherhood. Coordinating the survey is the work of the Church Council. The survey guide will be available June 15, this one being released first so that church leadership can conduct surveys in their communities while the press is grinding out the 5 group guides and the projects guide. On July 15, 1 month later, the supporting guides will be available. These are exciting. The 5 group guides will look like this first one, which you see is for working with language groups. You may ask, are there many language groups in our country? And you may be surprised to know that one out of every five persons in the United States is not more than one generation away from a foreign language. Spanish is the language of Samuel Obregón's parents. The parents and the child need help. At least they need to be taught English. There are more Spanish-speaking people like Samuel's parents in Los Angeles than in any city in the world except Mexico City. Also in Chicago, there are more Polish people than in any city in the world other than Warsaw. And in New York City, there are more Italians than in Venice and more Germans than in Heidelberg. On the West Coast, there are Orientals who, while preserving their cultures, are here to stay. In one home, a knock was answered from behind a barely cracked door as a Japanese wife greeted her visitors. When she was told they had come to teach her English, she smiled, opened wide the door, and bowed low. When was her simple question? That day she had her first lesson. Her second lesson may be in her home, or it could be in a nearby Baptist church, where she will find comfort with others who are struggling along without the language. Teaching English is but one of the many ministries which can be a part of your work with language groups. All ministries ultimately provide opportunities for witnessing. Another missions action guide is being prepared for work with internationals. Now, internationals differ from persons in language groups in that they are short-term residents. They're students, doctors serving residences, professionals on short-term assignment. You may have the idea that internationals like language groups are concentrated in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York City, and you may be thinking, I do not live in a great metropolitan center like these. Neither do I. But I live in Birmingham, where our WMU headquarters building is located. We who live there affectionately say our city still has the marks of a country town. And yet in Birmingham, there are 252 internationals from 47 countries who are known to the BSU secretary in the association. Each of these is an individual with special needs, at least one of which is crucial, and which, if met, opens the way for other ministries and witnessing. For 3 years in Southside Baptist Church, Birmingham, a Conversation English class has been conducted on Thursday mornings from September until May. This has involved approximately 15 women in the church and has brought an average attendance of more than 50 foreign-speaking persons from 17 countries. In the main, these are wives of doctors. The nursery is alive each Thursday morning with children who manage to communicate with each other and with their elders in spite of their lack of English. To meet the needs of others who wanted the instruction but could not attend the Thursday morning class, a Wednesday evening class was begun several months ago. This class has involved approximately 12 men and women of the church, and the class average has been 25. Many of these foreign people attending the Wednesday evening fellowship dinner of the church just prior to their class period. In the Thursday morning class, I drank a cup of coffee with a Chilean woman. Her husband and son are doctors well situated in Birmingham and excited over their opportunities. But she was homesick. Her eyes filled with tears when she said, "In Chile, I used to go to the neighbor's home for coffee and they came to mine." She was quick to say that her Birmingham neighbors are lovely people, but they had not opened their homes to her in a way that she felt free to enjoy a bit of conversation over a mid-morning cup of coffee with them. Cultural differences are superficial insofar as the Christian is concerned. Basic to our faith is the claim that in Christ we do not see Jew or Greek, but persons in need of fellowship with their Creator. Does it disturb you that a student from India, after studying for some years in our country, said, "Having seen Christian America, I am quite content to remain a Hindu"? We wonder how many internationals who come to the United States as non-believers meet Christ in a personal experience while here, or how many who come as Christians return to their countries having grown in their faith. Through Mission Action, the non-believer can be introduced to Christianity and the believer given Christian fellowship and opportunity for Christian growth. Mission Action among internationals can play a significant role in world affairs as well as in carrying out the Great Commission. Another group guide will give members direction in meeting a need which is crucial in most communities, mushrooming across the country are communities where poverty stalks its prey as relentlessly as a starving beast. Well over one-fifth of the nation finds itself economically disadvantaged. The pioneer spirit that colonized our country left the virtuous philosophy that any man can provide for his family if he has desire and determination. If this great American dream were once true, it has now become a myth, exploding anew each day under the pressure of automation and the shifting of centralization from the rural community to the urban society. This is not to position ourselves as assuming that every down-and-out woman we meet is a victim of cruel circumstance over which she had no control. Perhaps poor judgment or addiction to alcohol placed her where she is. But Jesus did not stumble over the personal history of this Samaritan woman at the well. His concern was not that she allowed herself to be swept under by human frailties, but that she be restored with living water. To assume the sleeping posture of a Rip Van Winkle with regard to the economically disadvantaged is to tragically deceive ourselves. Students of economics and social scientists state that as long as machines replace men, synthetics supplant crops, and populations mount, the sleeper would awaken only to find mankind staggering under a more gigantic burden of poverty. The economically disadvantaged find no consolation in hearing the more fortunate say that America at its worst is still better than the rest of the world. The fact that the poor blend so inconspicuously into the background of the American street makes it easy for others to forget that the economically disadvantaged are there at all. The countryside likewise blankets poverty. The insensitive American eye can admire the beauty of the Appalachian autumn where poverty is concentrated without seeing the day-to-day scavenging that takes place only a short distance off the highway down the dirt road. Before a Mission Action Group begins its work, the members need to be familiar with the more specific problems faced by economically disadvantaged families: poor housing, illiteracy, unemployment, boredom, poor health, and family disunity. The early Christian church practiced what Christ taught when he said, "So be merciful, sympathetic, tender, responsive, and compassionate, even as your Father is." The church on the contemporary scene should have a ministry among and a witness to the economically disadvantaged. The Juvenile Rehabilitation Group Guide is designed to guide persons willing to work to combat juvenile delinquency. The President's Commission, appointed in recognition of the nation's crime problem, reports that in the United States today, one boy in six is a juvenile delinquent. One 15-year-old boy was arrested for burglary. His parents were divorced when he was nine. The only adult male friend he remembered was a man for whom he had worked a few days. Feeling that no one liked him, he decided that owning a bicycle would be a means of making friends. He planned to pay for the bicycle by stealing. A boy who did not know who his father was beaten two or three times a week by a drunken friend of his mother. One night, out of fear, he stabbed the man to death. Two brothers who lived in a family of nine children, where food and clothing were scarce and inadequate, wanted so to be accepted by their schoolmates. In order to be so accepted, they shoplifted clothes from a discount store. While boys have a delinquency record four times as great as girls, girls in increasing numbers are appearing before juvenile court judges. A 14-year-old girl was abandoned by her parents and placed in the care of a grandmother who was also unconcerned about her behavior. The girl drifted from town to town and was taken into police custody on a vagrancy charge. The only place in town where she could be cared for overnight was the jail. Adults who seek to minister to juvenile delinquents should understand the basic need of the delinquent child, which are no different from basic needs of any child. He needs love and security. He needs to feel significant. He needs a sense of adequacy and worthiness. He needs to belong, to be a part of the group. He needs self-expression and self-determination. He needs to explore, to have new experiences. He needs to have something to make life make sense. The problem of juvenile delinquency has been recognized by many pastors. Some churches have faced up to their need to do something to combat it and to prevent it. Others have lacked motivation. Perhaps what the churches have needed is guidance materials or a ready-made group in the church to assume leadership in juvenile rehabilitation work. Leadership which Women's Missionary Union and Brotherhood should be able to give with the Mission Action materials being released. Mission Action work among the sick leads members beyond visiting their kinfolk and their friends who are sick. Mrs. William McMurray used to show utter impatience when asked if visiting these, quote, counted. Her reply was always, no, even the Hottentots do that. And Mission Action goes beyond caring for church members who are ill. The Sunday School leads out in this work. The persons on whom this Mission Action group focuses are physically ill persons who, because of special need or circumstance, are unreached by the church. They are in every community, these sick people, where their needs are not met by their own church. They should be met by a Mission Action group. The patient may need a visitor, a shopper, a letter writer, a chauffeur, a nurse, a cook, a babysitter, someone to help her family, or just a good listener. In any case, her basic needs are for understanding and the feeling that someone cares. These a mission group can supply. As WMU fulfills its responsibility in Mission Action, there are two major approaches to getting the work done. The approach we have been discussing may be referred to as ongoing action. The other approach is through projects or short-term service. Projects within an organization may be planned as follow-through to study, or projects may be conducted in response to other community needs, or projects may be conducted which will supplement and complement the work being done by other Mission Action groups. Where there is no Mission Action group organized to do ongoing work in an area of need, short-term projects should be undertaken. For example, witnessing to persons permanently confined to nursing homes can be an ongoing work, but where no Mission Action group gives regular attention to these people, short-term projects should be conducted. Teaching English as a second language to non-readers can be a work carried on in a church on a perennial basis, or it can be a project lasting for the period of time it takes a group to learn to read English. A short-term project to these people will introduce the church's witness to the foreign speaking in the community. Women undertaking to teach non-readers need to gain understanding of literacy methods, materials, and techniques through a literacy clinic. If a clinic is not ready-made in your community, help is available from many sources. Many Southern Baptists live near enough to Goodwill centers and to mission centers to engage in regular work in them. A look at these children at the Goodwill Center here in Miami will illustrate. By responding to the needs which the director of such a center will gladly outline, you can influence the lives of children and of their parents. You can help with activities. You can tell the stories, or you can explain the Annie Armstrong offering, as this missionary is doing. You can help with Bible class in this or other mission centers. You can guide children in drawing, painting, pasting, or if you claim no such talents, you can surely guide them in cleaning up after their art experiences. You can establish a Sunday school for Chinese women, or for women of another minority group who are not immediate prospects for the church. Establishing a class may be done as a project. Maintaining it is ongoing mission action. But the church has to get a start, and such a project is a good way to start. Or you may begin on a project basis, a ministry and a witness to Indians who live within reach of you. And many Southern Baptists live within reach of an Indian reservation. You may lend assistance on a short-term basis to chaplains and institutions of various kinds, as to this chaplain teaching a blind boy to read Braille. Or you may assist the chaplain in a hospital for days. His days are never long enough to give the attention to each patient that the patient needs. Or you may assist the chaplain in his patient ministry to retarded persons. In addition to the needs which may be conducted on an ongoing or a project basis, there are needs which by their very nature must be met by projects. For example, work among agricultural migrants who are here today and gone tomorrow. Exempt from federal minimum wage laws, ineligible in most cases for welfare, and denied unemployment compensation. These 2 to 3 million nomads represent the most ignored of all America's poor. With no home but a migrant camp, they live without the security derived from having a home with a foundation, a church for the family, and a school for the children. There are places where Baptists bring migrant children under their protection and care for the duration of their stay in the community. Here in a Baptist center, the children are given baths, which either cannot be had or cannot be had easily in the migrant camp. Baths are among life's extras for these children. More precious, however, is the personal attention given them by Christian women with love in their hearts. Projects such as collecting good, clean, and usable clothing for Cuban refugees will be meaningful both to those who engage in them and to the recipients of them. Mission, vacation, Bible schools are short-term projects which offer excellent opportunities to influence the lives of children of special need and to open the doors of their homes for opportunities to witness to their parents. These illustrations are only introductions to the treasures in the project's guide. And this presentation of the Mission Action Groups is only to whet your appetites for full and rich and exciting material contained in the real products. Are you wishing you had all the information in this report to take back to your church? Well, you may have it. Almost every sentence used was taken from the survey guide available from Baptist bookstores and from Women's Missionary Union, June 15, or from the 5 Mission Action Group guides available July 15, or from the projects guide available July 15, or from the 1967-68 WMU yearbook also available on July 15, or from June Royal Service, which you have at home, and in which 5 full pages are devoted to mission action besides the help given in the forecaster section. Or from the new mission action flyer to be placed in your hands as you leave this auditorium this morning. This flyer was printed for distribution to pastors, educational directors, WMU presidents, brotherhood directors, but held until today that you might be the first to receive it. This piece was produced to introduce our new approach to involving Southern Baptists in meeting missions opportunities with new understanding and renewed dedication. For herein is love.